Hey guys, it's us. We're back again. I'm Jen.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are up to, I believe it is episode 58.
Nice. Episode 58.
And after doing the review of Private Resort last time, I realized that you, Carrie, had never been a part of a Hiddlefax episode.
I have not. I'm really looking forward to it, too.
Oh, yeah. Lots of interesting things. And, yes, guys, some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about is stuff that we've talked about in previous episodes. But, see, here's the thing. You get a new take on things. Because we've got Carrie's opinion now. So, new take. Before we get started, I'm just going to briefly say no more news on the Hiddle Baby than we had from the very beginning.
Right.
So, you know, it is what it is. We'll find out when we find out. The child may be graduating college before we find out, but you know.
Right. Exactly.
And I still intend to be broadcasting when the child graduates college, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But, so we're coming up on the new year, Christmas, the new year. You got your plans all set and everything, Carrie?
You know, people are just kind of showing up later, and we've got people that are sort of in and out, and my house is sort of a waypoint.
Grand Central Station.
So I really just have to stay agile and roll with it.
Grand Central Station?
It is.
Yeah, that's how my house used to be when I was younger. Unfortunately, I'm a bit older now, and my kids are all grown and gone, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a lonely time for me, but I got you guys, so...
Yeah.
How about New Year's?
During the holiday season, you have no excuse to not update the blog and what have you. And you know what? I should do a profile.
Yeah. You should do a profile. If you have not done one by the time I get there, you know what's going to happen.
It's called
handcuffed and tied to a chair until you do it. If it takes days.
It's going to be like the torture scene in Casino Royale.
Oh, it's going to be even better than that.
Oh. Cool.
Oh, no, you won't like it. Not that kind of torture, my dear.
You're like, no, torture.
No, I'll put, like, your smokes and other smokes and stuff, like, just out of your reach.
Oh, that is... Okay, now you're okay. Hilarious. I guess I'll be doing that freaking profile. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know, put the drink just where you can't reach it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure your daughter would help me.
Who?
Your daughter. I'm sure London would help me.
All right, that's cruel when you're bringing family in. Oh, my God.
I think she'd find it hilarious. Come on, admit it.
Yeah, she would, yes. Yes, she
would. Lee would probably find it pretty funny, too.
He'd be like, whatever, and chuckle, and then go back into his
room. He'd be like, yeah, okay, let me know when dinner's ready.
Yep. That being said, this is funny.
Yeah. So, yes, update. And I know you are busy. I know, God knows, I know you are busy. But try to find 5 minutes to get into the website and do your profile. Really, it only takes about 5 minutes.
Damn it. Yes. You are right.
If people would realize that more often, things would go a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. So, without further ado, because there really is no news. No news is usually good news, so we'll find out. But, so there really is no news to report right now. I can't think of any. Can you?
I can't.
All right. So.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Tom Hiddleston. Okay, he's one of the few actors who has not changed his name. He shortened it, that's all. He was born Thomas William Hiddleston. Let's see, give me just a second here, so sorry. Gotta, you know me, I've got to get my notes together. But yeah, he was born in the Westminster District of London. Mother was Diana Patricia Hiddleston, and father was Dr. James Norman Hiddleston.
No, a doctor.
Yes, he's a physical chemist.
Oh.
And okay. He was actually the head of the marketing of a biotech firm that was associated with one of the colleges there in England. He's an Aquarius, Chinese Year of the Rooster. He has an older sister, Sarah, who's a journalist. Last I've noted, she was in India. And his younger sister, Emma, is also an actor. So he is the middle child of three.
Got you. Okay.
Yep. And, let's see. What do you want to know, Carrie? Let's do it this way. What would interest you about Tom Hiddleston?
What kind of music does he like?
Actually, he prefers the classics. He likes everything from opera to Beethoven to 80s, 90s, and new stuff.
Like a proper Englishman, I'm sure he likes the Stones and the Beatles.
I know he likes the Stones. I have not heard him comment on the Beatles, so I do not know about that one.
What did he say about the Stones?
Oh, just commented on, about liking their music in an interview at one point in time or another.
Yeah, gotcha.
Now, apparently his best year so far has been 2016. Which is really funny because 2016 is when he earned his biggest flop to date.
Okay.
Any idea what that would be? Any idea?
No.
Sorry.
I suspect I might know, but
hey, what do you
I
think?
Don't.
Just.
I'm going to give a hint just in case I'm wrong, and then I can say, like, no, I didn't say it.
Oh, just say it. Come on.
But was it a vampire movie?
No, it was not. No, it was not Only Lovers Left Alive. It was not.
Okay.
Only Lovers Left Alive was 2015.
Okay. I tried to get it in that. Okay.
I believe it was 2015.
So what is it?
Yeah, I believe it was 2015 anyway. Actually, I Saw the Light.
That was a bomb?
Yes, that was a bomb. That was the biggest failure to date.
Really?
Yup. It was.
Kind of surprised.
Yup, it was his biggest failure to date was I was mistaken. It's Only Lovers Left Alive 2013.
Gotcha.
Now, in 2016, I Saw the Light was released, and it did not do well. However, all of the music in I Saw the Light, that is actually Tom singing.
Yeah.
That is not it is pre-recorded. He recorded it in a studio and then lip-synced during the filming, but it is him singing. I thought that was very cool. Yeah. Apparently I have a thing for musicians who are also actors. So.
Gotcha. Right, right.
But 2000...
So,
uh-huh.
Well, I'm just kind of surprised that was a flop.
Really? Why is that? Why would that surprise you?
Well, you know, actually... maybe not. You know, it seems like back then, and they're doing it now, there's kind of a, let's tell the origin story of these country music singers.
Right.
You know, and I mean, Jessica Chastain is doing this movie now, even, where I think she's Loretta Lynn.
Right.
And
Well,
you know, I could see. Yeah. What was the Joaquin Phoenix?
I don't remember. I really don't recall.
It was kind of around the same time.
I can see him.
Senior, right?
I can see him, but I cannot call the movie or the person he was portraying.
Yeah,
Elizabeth Olsen, and I saw the light. Elizabeth Olsen played his wife.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and it seemed and I don't know, a lot of let's tell you about some country music, you know, stars right. from the 40s all the way up to the 70s, and we've seen enough of them, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much, but it was a bad script.
Okay, so you're saying the movie was bad.
Yes, according to Metacritic. Okay, Metacritic was a 47 out of 100. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 19%.
Oh, wow.
IMDb didn't do much better at 5.8 out of 10. It said that there was an exceptional central performance by Tom Hiddleston, but one that was entombed in a very dull and listless film. It is instantly forgettable and a complete waste of talent from Hiddleston and Olsen.
Hate to hear it.
Yeah.
Because they really gave it their all, it sounds like. You know, they did performances.
Oh, they were amazing, but the movie itself sucked.
Gotcha.
And, of course, I'm sure if anybody has listened to the previous podcasts, they've heard me going off about how Hank Williams III went off on Hiddleston saying he had no soul in his music. He is an English, refined English gentleman portraying not just a Southern man, but a Southern redneck and trying to sing on top of it. Give the man a break.
Well, maybe he shouldn't have tried it. You know, it might be this guy's argument.
True. But he looks so much like Hank Williams. I can't imagine them casting anybody else.
Yeah.
But 2000...
I'd love to watch that movie one day, actually.
Oh, yeah. I want to see it. I just want to see it because it's a Hiddleston film.
Yeah, from what I understand, Joaquin doing Hank Williams Senior, you know, he...
Joaquin?
Or, pardon me, not not Hank Williams, but Johnny Cash.
Yeah, okay.
Was probably right around the same time and likely the superior film because they lauded Joaquin Phoenix for his portrayal of Cash.
Right.
Yeah. Well. And maybe he had to kind of be measured up against Joaquin, who is an American, you know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they should have had an American essentially play the role. I know he looks like Hank Williams, but, you know.
Well, and once again, it wasn't the portrayal that was the problem. It was the actual script itself.
Right.
The script itself was just bad.
Too bad.
That was the general consensus pretty much from everybody, was the script was just bad. So, you know, maybe they should have gotten a better script.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Well, so on the reverse, what was Hiddleston's financially most successful movie?
Okay, that I don't know, but I can definitely look it up. Let's see.
I've got a feeling it's probably a Marvel.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I would guess probably Avengers.
Okay. Yeah, that thing.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Woo.
That's a pretty good guess.
Oh. He ranks number 616 in Lifetime worldwide box office draw, Tom Hiddleston does, with 2,449,790,968.
Good Lord.
Who are
the others? God.
Yeah, I mean, and he rates at number 616.
Wow.
Yeah, the number one is just the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, and that's probably an unfair question because that is a true ensemble when you start getting into, like, Avengers and, yeah, especially the Avengers movies.
Right.
You kind of get a skip for that.
Oh, yeah. Because
everybody's lending their, weight to it.
Well, 2016 is also when our man received a very, very prestigious award from the country of England.
Mm-hmm.
He was awarded 2016's Rear of the Year Award.
Oh, 2016 was a strong year for this man.
Yes, it was. And, he's often said that the reason he has no problem dropping trowel is because, women have been asked to do it for years. And very rarely is it the man's turn. He felt it was time to redress the balance.
Right.
I am so glad he thinks that way.
Yeah. He's a very modern 21st century cool guy. And he's Loki. So.
And he's Loki. Absolutely.
Very apropos.
That it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's see. He was also the most Googled actor in the world in 2016.
Yeah. Well, yeah, at that point we were trying to figure out, he kind of took it by storm. We were trying to figure out, who is this guy?
Right. He hit at 2011 with Thor?
Yeah.
Wasn't that 2011?
Yeah, it was pretty early, and I remember him in that Jaguar ad, and I'm like, okay, that was the guy.
Yeah.
Loki, but...
They actually gave him a Jaguar.
Wait a minute, what?
Yep, they actually gave him a Jaguar for being in the commercials.
Okay, we have to talk about that.
Oh, we will. That? We will. We'll get there.
Okay, okay.
Let's see... Yeah. Before that, 2011, I was right. Before that, with his very first big paycheck, he went and bought a Peugeot 106. Brand new. Peugeot 106. From the very first big paycheck he got from the life and times of Nicholas Nickleby.
Nice.
He drove that car. Oh, yeah. He drove that car exclusively for 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Until it was stolen by a couple of joyriders in London and wrecked beyond repair.
What? That's amazing.
Yep. And then he was given the Jaguar after being featured in several of their commercials.
Mm-hmm. Have you touched on that before?
Oh, what, the Jaguar commercials, or?
Some joyriders ended
Some kids grabbed his car, snatched his car, and wrecked it.
It's not funny, but it's kind of funny.
It is funny. He thinks it's hilarious. If they had only known whose car they were stealing.
Yeah, yeah.
I could just see them telling their grandkids one day, we stole his car once.
We stole Loki's car.
Yeah. God, I'd love to be able to tell my kids that. On a different but related note. Yeah, a couple of years ago, there was a news story about someone had broken into Johnny Depp's Hollywood home. And the first thing I did was text everybody and say, it wasn't me. I'm still in Georgia.
Yeah. Good move. move?
Because I kept, well, it was around the same time I was trying to figure out where Tom Hiddleston was at, yeah. because he was supposedly in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to figure out where he was staying so I could go stalk him. I mean, try to meet him.
Yeah. Observe him in the wild.
Absolutely. But by the time I was looking for him, he had already gone back to England. But yeah, so when Depp's house got broken into, I'm like, nope, it wasn't me. It turned out it was a homeless lady just looking for a place to crash and try to get warm.
And that's so Loki.
Yeah. Yep. So that was an interesting turn of events. Woody Allen actually sent him a letter in 2010 asking him to be in Midnight in Paris, to which he agreed.
Of course.
One of his one of the quotes I have on him, he credits his mother with a lot of his best knowledge and his common sense, basically. But he says, you know, my mom always taught me the value of knowing, recognizing, and acknowledging when you've had a good day.
That's a great piece of advice.
That's one of the things that keeps him so upbeat and positive all the time. I've never seen the man in a bad mood. I have never heard anyone else talking about him being in a bad mood.
Yeah.
You know, and people do talk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, they do. And, you know, I have to say, I've seen a lot of Tom Hiddleston interviews. You know, of course, I've seen his works, but I've seen a lot of his interviews. And he's always been upbeat. He's probably the most, well, him and Chris Hemsworth, they're the most upbeat people when it comes to these interviews.
Oh, yeah. And it absolutely amazes me because, yes, he's an actor. Yes, he makes a lot of money. But you know what? They still have problems, guys. Everything is not perfect. Look at Johnny Depp's life. You know, look at some of these other actors and actresses that have totally tanked everything. You know, it's not always peaches and cream.
Yes.
Yes. You know, they have their own problems. They have their own lives. And sometimes their personal problems are multiplied exponentially because they're famous.
Yeah.
So to maintain that upbeat, positive attitude is just great. And he also, you know, he loves the classics as far as plays go as well. Shakespeare is one of his favorites. And he sums up his attitude towards acting in one phrase, a quote from A Midsummer Night's Dream. That quote is, take pains, be perfect. He says it emphasizes his need to prepare, know the character, know the role, do your best and get it right the first time, every time.
Yeah. I mean, he really is a true professional.
He absolutely is. But he's also a lot of fun. He has not lost his human side either.
Right.
Which, you know, that happens a lot. I mean, Tom Cruise, for instance.
Yeah. You could say that with possibly Brad Pitt.
Yep.
You know, they feel like they're forced to insulate themselves.
Or they become...
They're nothing except
the actor. There's nothing aside from that.
Right. Right. He has managed to stay pretty perfectly human.
He has. And it's an amazing thing. That's one of the reasons we love watching him is because he is, one, so versatile, and two, so human.
And, you know, on a related note from earlier, we really can't blame him. So he's made some cash. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
We can't blame him for wanting to keep his personal life
private.
Personal.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I'd say he's made some money. He owns a $6.7 million home in London. Which, but right. See, think about it. In today's society, in today's market, owning a home worth a couple million is not that big a deal. A lot of people do so without ever becoming an actor or a singer or, my sister owns a home that's close to that. It's not close to the six, but it's close to the one. Mm-hmm. And she's in the process of buying it. So, that's not that. Yeah, it's a large home, but that is not a hugely exceptional price tag for a home.
Right. Yeah, pretty humble compared to,
say, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, you could go with other English actors and say, Liam Neeson.
Right.
He's got like the stately, Neeson manner.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
We were talking about his positivity.
Mm-hmm.
During a fielding fan questions interview, a fan asked him how he maintained his positivity. He said, quote, "You only get one. That's it." Meaning life. The French have a quote, and I'm only going to translate the English version. I cannot pronounce the French. Sorry. The quote translates to, "We all have two lives. The second begins when you realize you only have one. So I'm not wasting any time. The thing is, with negativity, for my money, it's like the clouds that pass across the sun. It will pass. They're just bad feelings, and it's important not to dwell on them. I find that there's just so much about life that is amazing. And when you kind of key into that, I don't know, I just find myself getting excited. I can't explain it. Sometimes the answer is, get up when the sun comes up. When the day is new, look around and realize you're part of an amazing planet." That's what I did.
Dude, what an amazing mindset. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, he hits on all cylinders, really.
Yeah. Yeah, he's certainly got it figured out.
He's also a UNICEF ambassador. Has been since 2015.
Wow.
Yeah, he went with them to Africa at one point, and he realized things like clean sheets, fresh water, and sanitary living conditions that most of us have are a luxury that most people don't even recognize. They don't even see it. It's yep. just there. But there are places where those things are not. And he also donates quite a bit to UNICEF and other charities.
Yeah, nice guy. That's really lovely.
Yep.
And he has some Marvel people that are in films with them that feel the same way.
Oh, right. Yes.
I know that Robert Downey Jr. has a lot of, philanthropy that he'll... I mean, how much money can you possibly need?
Right.
And you have a lot of these actors that are like, well, I can certainly afford to spread this around.
Yeah. And then you have actors like, pardon me, but like Johnny Depp, who... have spread it around so much that they're now broke.
Yeah, on the other side of the coin, Johnny...
Johnny supports every single family member of every single girlfriend he has ever had.
Yeah, and Johnny, to his credit, has accrued so much money throughout his career that he can certainly do that. And
oh, yeah.
Tom... probably at this point could do the same thing. I think they're both appreciative of the support systems.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I don't think there's any kind of debate to where they're humble enough to appreciate where they came from.
Right.
Who helped them out.
Yep.
But their managers really love them just because of like, thank you.
Right.
Well,
Johnny Depp says every single time he's at a premiere or when he meets fans, he's like, He's like, I'm so glad that you guys like the film or whatever, blah, 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 because you know what? Y'all are the boss. Y'all are the one who writes my paycheck. Y'all are the ones who pay me. So, whatever I can do, that's to support the fan system. He is more than willing, and so is Tom, to take that selfie, to say hello and give a handshake, to sign an autograph, to, just all kinds of things that a lot of these actors just won't do without monetary gain.
Yeah, and in Johnny's case, where he's just rich beyond everybody's possible imagination and has had such a long career.
Right.
Given the circumstances, perhaps he's not the most humble. Maybe he is. But he's certainly one of the most generous. And I feel like Tom is certainly willing to pass it around a bit.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And
A lot of these guys don't.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I've always admired Tom Cruise. I love his career. I think he's a great actor. That being said, I think it's fairly public knowledge that he contributes a lot of his salary to the Church of Scientology.
Right.
And so that's probably going to a select group of individuals.
But if it's a cause he believes in.
And you know what? And he is committed and he does do it. That being said, I feel like Johnny and Tom are actually doing ground zero, to people that needed contributions.
Yep.
UNICEF, that's an amazing...
Not just throwing money at it. Anybody can do that.
Yeah,
he actually went. And
going to Africa.
And helped. People didn't know who he was. Hell, they don't even have fresh water, let alone a TV.
Awesome. Yeah,
they did not have any idea who he was. But the people that went with him knew who he was. And he acted no differently than anyone else. He did the same things. He dug trenches. He built houses. He helped with the water supplies. He did not ask for, nor did he receive any special attention or, anything. Because of who he is, he did the exact same thing as every other volunteer there. And, he has thanked them over and over again for treating him just like anyone else.
Yeah, wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he said he wanted to know. He wanted to know. He really wanted to see what was going on. And you can't do that if you're being mollycoddled and, wrapped in plastic and treated with kid gloves.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, you couldn't.
So, yeah. Looking through my notes here, I've got a question for you, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have ophiliophobia, right? Ophiliophobia?
I do.
Okay.
I hate snakes.
You are terrified of snakes, right?
I do. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Is there anything else that just absolutely terrifies you?
Besides snakes?
Yeah, or is that the big one?
I gotta say that's the big one. It sounds hollow, but yes, that is the big one.
That's the big one. Okay.
Dying alone or whatever. No, it's snakes.
Okay.
There's a fear of the supernatural.
You have a fear of the supernatural? Really?
No, I was just volunteering that, and I have no fear of that. It's snakes. It's fucking snakes.
Take a guess at what Hiddleston's big fear is.
Hiddleston's big fear is agoraphobia.
No.
What is it?
No, he is not. Agoraphobia is fear of leaving your home. Why would he?
Yeah,
he actually has galeophobia.
What's that?
Fear of sharks.
Really? Come on.
Yep. He said nature created the perfect killing machine.
What? He actually commented on sharks.
Yes, that was his comment. Quote, quote, end quote. Nature created the perfect killing machine. He also has another fear, which is kind of funny for what he does for a living. He gets stage fright.
Well, okay, this we have talked about. And it seems like that's a fairly common fear amongst a good bit of actors, which is what gives them credence whenever they do stage performances.
Right. Well, his eyes involuntarily water when he's scared. So, instead of...
First, though, he's really deathly phobic of sharks.
Yes.
So, he can't hang out with his brother on film, Chris Hemsworth, in his natural environment.
Is Chris a surfer?
Well, Chris is from Australia, and yeah, he likes to get on the surf in those Great Barrier Reef gigantic great white sharks that are always preying on the surfers. Yeah.
I didn't think the great whites went around Australia. I thought it was too warm for them.
Oh, no. No, it is very possibly the origin point of great white sharks.
Uh-huh.
They only get massive sharks.
Nice. Of course, you know, everything grows bigger in Australia. Look at Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, right. You know, everything in Australia wants to kill you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Including the sharks, and also, very possibly, ladies and gentlemen, any Hemsworth. I wonder how Tom gets along with Liam.
I do not know. I've never heard him comment on Liam. Now, he names Chris Hemsworth as his favorite person to work with.
Yeah, and they are homeboys. These guys are like a buddy pair.
Yeah, he went down to Australia during the filming of Love and Thunder to hang out.
Right.
You know, yeah. I was hoping so badly that he went down to actually film some stuff, you know, because I was hoping he was going to be in Love and Thunder. He is, but only in flashbacks.
Okay.
Yeah, which kind of sucks. But
I can actually see Tom Hiddleston, you know, like dipping his toes in, you know, like a little Australian beach and going, I don't know.
Well, what's funny is he prefers to run because he runs 5 miles a day. He started that routine when he was trying to get in shape for the Avengers, and he has maintained it to present time. He runs 5 miles a day, but he prefers to run on the beach because the sand gives a little more resistance. So, I find it funny that he loves to run on the beach, but he's afraid of sharks.
Away from the sharks, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's on land, but he can see them.
Yep.
So, did Tom read a fair amount of Marvel comics when he was taking on this role?
When he was taking on the role, yes.
Oh.
He was a comic book fan, but he was not a comic book fan.
Okay.
You know, he'd pick up a comic here or there. You know, most kids do. But he was not like a diehard, oh my God, gotta get this copy, you know.
Yeah, he was a casual reader.
Right. But when he took on the role, he not only memorized large portions of the Norse Edda, but he also read many of the comics. But what I was saying about his stage fright, now his eyes involuntarily water when he gets scared. So now mine do that when I get angry. When I get mad, my eyes water. People think I'm crying because my feelings are hurt or I'm upset. No, if in the middle of an argument, I start crying, run. Run away. Because I am not upset. I am pissed off beyond belief. But yeah, his eyes involuntarily water when he gets scared. So, he has harnessed that fear and that reaction to fear, combined it, And this actually helps him during his emotional scenes on film. Ta-da!
Yeah, has he ever done for a Marvel movie?
Of course he has.
The death scene. Yep, the death scene.
Oh, right. Man, we don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. And it was very powerful.
Okay, so do you think you could call the first movie role that he played a musician in?
Was it Get Him to the Greek?
No. I Saw the Light was in 2015. 2 years before that, he played Adam, a depressed rock star vampire trying to come to terms with the steady decay and devolution of human world over the last 400 years or so in Only Lovers Left Alive.
I thought you were talking about real musicians.
No. He played his first movie role as a musician.
Yep. I can see Hiddleston and, the Marvel movies. I hope he continues to make them. But I would love to see him and he is gifted musically.
Yes.
He really is. And that was a
He does sport, not think so, obviously. Though. He does not well, think I, so.
I would love to see him get involved in a film project where they, an English group. I could see him playing. Actually, no kidding. I'm absolutely serious. And if you guys want to shoot it down, I understand.
Come on, spit it out.
But I could see him as a young to like 30 or 40 year old Mick Jagger. In a Rolling Stones film.
I could see it. He could do it.
Yeah, right?
He could definitely do it. Speaking of his musical inclination, how many instruments do you think he plays?
I think he plays three.
Okay, what three?
I think he plays piano.
Okay.
Actually, some basic drumming.
Okay. Okay, piano is correct.
Mm-hmm.
The piano is correct.
Yeah.
The drumming is not. Well, unless you count spoons.
Drumming is...
Unless you count spoons.
Yeah, that doesn't count. Yeah, no. Okay, so he doesn't do drumming. I was going to go with violin.
Yes. Very good.
Okay.
He actually plays five musical instruments.
Wow.
Not including his voice.
All right.
Violin, lute... Piano, guitar, and spoons.
He plays the lute.
He does play the lute.
And that's so English, and I would love to hear that.
He plays the lute in Only Lovers Left Alive.
So that was him.
Yes.
Man,
the lute, the guitar, all of the instruments that he plays in Only Lovers is, that's all him.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I thought they dubbed it. Wow.
Nope. Who do you think is Hiddleston's number one inspiring actor? The actor that inspires Tom the most.
I'm going to go with Gary Oldman.
You're actually very close. Gary Oldman comes in second on Tom's list. The actor he admires most is Tom Hanks.
Whoa, really?
Quote.
Wow.
Quote, his decency is poured into everything he does. I'm nowhere near Tom Hanks' contribution. Not even close. It's not high art, but there's value in it, somehow, somewhere. End quote.
Yeah, really insightful.
And Gary Oldman is, let me get back to that one.
Um, a great British
after
actor.
Tom Hanks, he names Gary Oldman, Jeff Bridges, Al Pacino, and director Kenneth Branagh among his inspirations and those he admires most in his line of work.
Wow. And certainly he got to meet Kenneth Branagh with the Thor movies.
Oh, yeah. That was one of his biggest thrills, was being able to work with him.
Yeah, what a dream, right?
Right. So, languages. I know we've discussed this. Do you remember how many languages he speaks?
7.
No.
5.
He's quoted as saying, "I am fascinated by language as a way, I suppose it is our primary tool of externalizing the many complex feelings and thoughts we have as human beings. How can we, as human beings, make ourselves understood when we are so complex and our capacity to feel and think is so profound?" End quote. And yes, he is fascinated by language. He speaks. Okay, he's fluent in English,
yeah.
French.
Yeah, this is fluent is actually speaking the language. So
well, fluent is.
You speak the language.
Well, you speak it as they do. You can make yourself understood if you're not fluent.
Yeah. You effectively communicate.
Right.
Oh, God.
So, but he is fluent in English, French, Greek, Spanish, and Italian.
Mm-hmm.
He can also speak and understand some Russian, Latin, German, Korean, Mandarin Chinese, and British Sign Language. That is 11 different languages.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Korean and the Chinese is kind of a surprise.
Mandarin Chinese, Korean, Latin kind of surprised me. What would an actor need with Latin? But
with the private school background that he had, I could see them in Latin.
But
my daughter, actually, in Mobile, Alabama, has some Latin.
I studied Latin for 4 years. I can understand most spoken language. If it's spoken, I can pretty much figure out what you're saying because of studying Latin, because Latin is the root of all of your spoken languages.
Yeah, and true spoken language.
Right. So, yeah, they used to laugh at me down in Florida because I worked at a store where most of the little ladies that came in spoke Tagalog, which is a Filipino dialect. Now,
mm-hmm.
I could understand what they were saying.
It's not Tagalog, it's
Tagalog.
Gotcha.
I could understand what they were saying. I couldn't speak it. But they could understand English and couldn't speak it. So they're talking to me in their native tongue. I'm talking to them in English, and we're going back and forth. People are like, how in the world is... Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
But I can understand, now written, not so much, but spoken language, I can pretty much understand.
When you hear it, right.
Right. So, and you know, of course, he loves to dance. Oh, you didn't know that. You've seen how many interviews with Hiddleston and you didn't know that?
I knew. But how proficient is he, you know, for
he decided,
a film, maybe?
He decided to study dance as a teenager to attract girls.
Okay, I didn't know that. And right on, my man.
Okay, Carrie, how old were you when you received your first kiss?
I was...
Like, real kiss.
I was 12.
You were 12.
Like, real kiss.
12. Yeah. Boy, late bloomers, I tell you. I'm not even going to say how old I was. We're not going there. Tom was 10.
Oh, you tell.
He was 10. He said, yeah, tongue and everything. It was great.
Tongue and everything. It was great.
Yep. And he's actually, you know, we all know he can sing, but he is a Billboard top of the charts.
Yeah.
Top 10 artist.
Yeah.
his song that he sings on Loki season 1 episode 3 entitled Very Full debuted at number 10 on the worldwide digital sales tally the day after that episode premiered.
Yeah. Everybody wanted to know and wanted to own it.
So yeah, he's a top 10 Billboard artist.
Yeah. That performance actually generated a lot of sales.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That it did. Not only of the the Loki series merchandise and the song itself, but also other movies and things where he sings and plays musical instruments.
Right. Yeah, everybody really kind of wants to find out about Tom.
Well, because he is so private. And, the more private you make yourself, the more we want to know.
Yeah, and he's also really talented, and he's kind of hiding himself away, so you want to kind of, more about him.
Exactly. What we can't have, we always want. So. But
I don't know, he has done some fantastic quotes that want you to kind of, follow along with them.
Right.
There's some really great life advice that he gives.
Oh, yeah.
As a young man,
Oh, I have a list of over 400 quotes from him. Now, one of the things, I'm trying to think how to put this. It's difficult to maintain that positive attitude when you care so much about what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the world itself will bring you down. But he says that one of his acting school buddies gave him some advice, which he finally decided to disregard, and I'll tell you why. The advice was, go out and party the night before a big audition. That way, when you show up, you really don't give a shit and just want to go back to bed. Caring too much will kill your chance for any part. Tom says that, quote, eventually, I gave myself permission to care, because there's a lot of people in the world who are afraid of caring or afraid of showing that they care because it's uncool. It's uncool to have passion. It's so much easier to lose when you've shown that you don't care about winning in the first place. It's much harder to lose when you've shown that you care. But the fact is, you'll never win unless you also stand to lose.
Yes, you must stand to lose.
Yeah, I mean, it's two sides to every coin. There is good and bad. There's losing and winning. There's top and bottom. You can't have one without the other.
Right.
If you don't stand to lose, you're not going to gain.
Yeah, there has to be a risk-reward.
And the risk has to be equal to the reward.
Yeah, it has to mean something.
Right. Or else, what's the point?
Right. It would be too easy otherwise, or fake.
It would be fake. It would, there's...
Yes.
The easy would lose its meaning.
Yes. Love this man's philosophy. He really is kind of a gambler, though he's putting his chips down on...
He's a gambler on an open-handed match, though. You ever play poker open-handed where you can see everybody else's cards?
Yeah. And you're like, I hope this comes up good.
But you can see what everybody else has got.
Yeah.
That's Tom, and he's still gambling, and he's still winning.
Yeah, he's made some very, very good decisions. Johnny is playing regular poker, and he's got...
Ups and downs.
I wouldn't even say he's got balls, though he does have balls, but... He had to take some gambles or risk being just some guy, lost back in the 80s and 90s.
Yep.
You know, he did not have to take in a, you know, a lot of people probably have had offers that they should have taken, but he ended up taking, say, Edward Scissorhands, and it catapulted him.
Well, you know, that was, he's, Johnny has made a career out of the playing the misfit.
Yeah, it had to be something, however, that you have to be attracted to. If he's you're going to gamble on it, you know.
Right, but he's made a career out of the socially awkward, maybe not the greatest box office generating movies. Uh-huh. So, you know, he once said he's made his career out of failures.
Right.
But, you know, I don't see them as failures.
Failures.
I don't see that. Edward Scissorhands is still known to this day. People who don't know Johnny Depp's name, and believe it or not, there are some out there. People who don't know the name Johnny Depp, I show my Edward Scissorhands tattoo and they go, oh, yeah. Edward, that's so cool.
Edward Scissorhands is still making people money.
Edward Scissorhands is still making people smile.
And making people money.
Yeah, and making people money.
Making people smile.
Yep.
That's actually kind of the nice sweet spot. You know, everybody's kind of happy.
Right.
And I'm hoping that Loki is that for Hiddleston, but...
Well, Loki makes people smile.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody goes, why? It's Loki. Exactly. It's Loki.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's that, there's something about the way he portrays the character that makes people want to know him.
Well, you know, whenever we talk about DC Comics and all of these huge heroes, when it comes down to it, the one that's possibly the most like you, because maybe you could be him, would be Batman. Because he's just really well trained, he doesn't have any actual superpowers. When you look at Marvel, all of us have that kind of mischievous, you know, we all True. At least wish that we could, and there's a lot of Loki in a lot of us.
Oh yeah.
And so I think that's why we always really like, I don't think that Hiddleston, this is going to be controversial, Jen.
Okay.
I'm very sorry.
It's our podcast. Say what you want.
But, you know, Hiddleston, I really don't think that Marvel Cinematic Universe would have been as successful if they didn't have Hiddleston and if they didn't have Loki
Agreed.
As a central character.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. And Marvel Cinematic mm-hmm. Universe agrees mm-hmm. with you.
I think so.
Originally, they once they decided on the Avengers movie, they wanted to put a second villain in the movie because they didn't think Loki was strong enough to handle all of the Avengers on his own. Until they met Tom and he demonstrated his vision for Loki. And then they're like, oh, yeah, this will do.
Yeah, babe, you're so right. Absolutely, yes, yes.
So, yeah, Marvel...
He is the mastermind.
Marvel Cinematic Universe agrees with you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, and Hiddleston ended up making them billions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
And
know, making Johnny himself has... a household name.
Mm-hmm.
Yup.
And he's finally got his... He's got his woman...
Oh, yeah.
Of his life.
Yep.
He's got a beautiful child. We're 90% sure it's only one.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking.
Yeah, but, you know, good for him.
Oh, my goodness. I just checked our time. We're already at 59 minutes. It feels like we just got started.
Well, you could talk a lot about Tom Hiddleston, obviously.
Well, yeah, sorry.
I love these tracks.
All right, so next Hiddleston week, we're going to do part two. Does that sound good?
Definitely.
All right. What do you want to do for next week? We've got a lot of Johnny Depp movies. We've got Depp facts. We've got Depp quotes.
Well, it's going to be a Christmas episode, and we're talking about Johnny Depp.
Is it already that?
It'll pretty much be a Christmas episode for us.
Ah. Wow, I really have lost track.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Oh, wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's only because it's hot as hell outside where we are, guys.
Yeah, no kidding, right? It's ridiculous.
And...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, if it's really, really snowing, and there's a terrible, terrible killing frost or what have you, wherever you're living...
Watch out for wildfire.
Yep, watch out for wildfires, and also don't hate on us for being in the deep south where we're probably going to be.
No, honey. I go ahead and finish your statement, but yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you know, when we're wearing shorts and grilling outside.
Okay, no, Wildfire, the song.
Oh, Wildfire.
Yeah, when they came a-killing frost. Yep. And the pony, she named Wildfire. Yeah, so watch out for Wildfire.
Wildfire is still out there.
Absolutely. Always. Immortal. All right, so, yep. Next time we record will probably be the 21st, 22nd, or 20th. Nope, it won't be the 23rd. That's a Friday. So, 21st, 22nd?
Yep.
So, yeah. We could revisit Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, that's a pretty... Whenever I think of...
Death and Christmas.
You know, as much as I hate to do this debate on... It's a Christmas movie. You know,
okay, I'm sorry. My favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard, so...
Oh, my God. All right. So is Edward Scissorhands a Christmas movie?
Just the same as Sleepy Hollow is a Christmas movie. So which one you want to see?
All right, now wait. I want to go back to Edward Scissorhands is a much more Christmas movie than Die Hard.
Okay, are we really going there? Okay, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Go to New York, have a few laughs.
Yeah, but he doesn't talk about Christmas in that quote.
It's Christmas that he's coming home.
But they don't really talk about Christmas.
It doesn't matter. They don't talk about Christmas in Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, but Edward Scissorhands, every other shot was like a Christmas tree, you know.
Okay, well,
snow.
Granted, this took place in a high-rise tower, but still. The whole reason for the movie was Christmas.
Actually, can we meet in the middle and the next one that we do is Christmas movies. Is it valid or not?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
We can do whatever we want, dear. Well, it's our podcast.
We're obviously going to talk a lot about Edward Scissorhands.
All right, so I'll tell you what. We will discuss Christmas movies that people don't think are Christmas movies.
So are we going to talk about also... Nightmare Before Christmas, because that is... Sorry, Johnny, I know you weren't in it, but you are tied to that movie.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. It's a Burton classic.
Yep.
Okay.
It's possibly a Christmas classic if you guys consider it a Christmas film.
Absolutely, it's a Christmas film.
Oh!
Hey, if there's snow on the ground and you see a fat man in a red suit, it's a Christmas movie.
All right. and also, I would be mauled by the general public if I said it's not a Christmas movie.
Actually, it's a Halloween movie, but okay.
I think it's a Halloween movie. Thank you, ma'am.
But yeah, okay, so next week we will be branching off. Focusing, of course, on Johnny Depp and Tom Hiddleston, but focusing more on Christmas movies in general. That's going to be fun.
Has Tom done a Christmas movie or a holiday movie?
Not really, no.
I think that I know that he's done a football / soccer.
That's early years. Yeah.
Tribute. But yeah, we should definitely do the research and a gentle reader, if you want to kind of anticipate this on your vacation, and once you get ahead of us on the research, you could send some observations and an email.
Yep, you could do the email at depthheadsandhillstoners@yahoo.com. You could also check out our website at depthheadshittlestoners.com, or you could go through barryreese.net, click on the link. We also have a dedicated phone line, which still has not rung even once, which is 765-681-7313. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. You know, and if you leave us a time zone, tell us when is the best time to get in touch with you. One of us, me or Carrie, will call you back.
Absolutely.
So that is our sign-off, I do believe. Next Hiddleston week, which will be the week before New Year's, will be Hiddle Facts Part 2 with Carrie.
And it is, ladies and gentlemen, I publicly call out the research skills of Jen. Has Tom Hiddleston done a holiday movie?
I will find out before we record next week.
I got a feeling he has.
We'll see.
It feels like he has.
Well, you know, the fact is, you know, he's been in stuff like The Muppets Most Wanted for like 5 seconds. So, yep.
Yeah.
But I will find out.
All right. You're probably going to find out tonight, but
probably.
I can't wait to hear the answer. Actually, guys, she's going to find it.
If one exists, I will find it.
Yeah.
So anyway, guys, peace out, peace and love. We will see you next week or hear you next week.
Love and peace.
Peace and love. Later, guys.
Later.
Bye.